some scripture there beginning with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, and read what the Apostle Paul wrote here to the church at Ephesus concerning putting on the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's reading there from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 for a scripture reading. And my message today is not going to be about the armor of God, but I want to speak about the reason that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church here at Ephesus and told them that they needed to have on the whole armor of God. And he said the reason for that was in verse 11, when he told them to put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the title of my message today will be based on that, the wiles of the devil. And I want you to notice in this that the Apostle Paul, in writing this, he wrote it to a church. And of course, these things that the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistles to the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and the church at Thessalonica, and these epistles that he wrote to these churches, to the Colossians, certainly they are to be applied to all of the Lord's churches. And so we as well need to put on the armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he certainly will attack the Lord's churches. And, you know, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and the devil hates God's truth. And so certainly he is going to attack those who uphold the truth of God's word. I want you to think about what this word implies. Paul said to do this, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if you look up in a good dictionary, if you look that word wiles up, it's in reference to trickery or stratagem or a strategy practiced for ensnaring or deceiving. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul here was telling the church at Ephesus, you know, you need to be able to stand, you need to wear the armor so you can stand against the tricks or the way that the devil is trying to trap you and catch you in an evil snare. And let me tell you that he is a master of that. I mean, he is certainly a master of entrapping people. And it's recorded also in this epistle, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 27, The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, to not give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil, he said in that verse, Ephesians 4 and 27. And again, in defining that, if you look at the word place, the Greek word that word was taken from is a word that has multiple meanings. And one of those meanings is opportunity or opportunities. And I believe that that's the way that it applied there, that the Apostle Paul, when he said that, he was saying, do not give opportunities to the devil. Do not provide him the place or do not provide him the opportunity to trick you or to ensnare you. And I want to ask something of the congregation today as I try to deliver this message. And I ask this of both saved and lost to give serious thought about the ways that we undoubtedly give the devil opportunities to do that very thing in our lives. And when we realize this, and I certainly believe that God will help us, if we really want to see this, I believe the Lord will help us to see the ways that we are listening to the devil rather than listening to him. And when we realize these things, we don't need to take them lightly. You know, I think sometimes we are too casual in this. Sometimes when we see something and we're like, yeah, I listen to the devil, and we're just very casual about it. But listen, if we see something in ourselves, in our life, that in a way that we are listening to the devil rather than God, that ought to be a serious wake-up call to all of us, and we ought to take it as such, and we ought to say, well, then I need to get that corrected, because we don't need to be giving opportunity to the devil. And I want to also ask you to pay attention, and I'm going to camp out here for just a little while on this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, where I read in verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want you to think about, now the Apostle Paul used the analogy here of wrestling. He didn't say in this particular verse, he did not talk about playing any other sport or running a race. He said, we wrestle against not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wicked powers. And I want to, having been on the wrestling team when I was in school, I want to talk to you a little bit about some things that are necessary when you're involved in wrestling. And there's some, as it is with every sport, there's some lingo. There are things that if you attend a high school wrestling meet or a college wrestling meet, there are some things that you're going to typically hear said. And, you know, something that when we were wrestling, we were out there on the mat with our opponent wrestling, something that we would always hear if we got out of position at all, because the sport is very much about being in the right position. And so if we got out of position at all, we would hear the coach yell, stay square. And when you heard that, when you heard the words, stay square, you knew that your body was out of position to, you know, properly defend against your opponent. And so a lot of the strategy, the reason for that is a lot of the strategy with the sport is to get your opponent at an angle because they're a lot more vulnerable that way. It's a lot easier to knock somebody off of their feet if they're at an angle than it is if their body is squared up with you. And listen, if we're going to successfully fight the good fight against the devil, we're going to have to stay properly positioned. And I will have a little bit more to say about that as we go on, perhaps. But I want you to think about what it takes. And in my lifetime, I couldn't tell you how many times that I have sat and watched wrestling matches, because after I had wrestled, I had a younger brother that came along and wrestled, and then I had some nephews that wrestled, and then my sons became wrestlers, and I don't even know how many times I've sat in a gym and watched wrestling matches. But there's something that I learned, that there's only one type of person that can beat somebody that really knows how to wrestle. Do you know who that is? It's not somebody that just has brute strength, because I couldn't even tell you the number of times that I have seen two young men step out there to compete with each other, and one of them would be built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the other one would just be, you just have little bitty arms and be real thin, and he would win. So it's not about brute strength, and it's not just about agility, but in order to defeat somebody that really knows the sport of wrestling, that really knows how to execute the moves and the holds, it takes somebody else that knows how to wrestle. And that's the only one that can do that. I've seen boys that really knew how to execute the moves and really knew how to do the sport of wrestling defeat people that were way bigger than them, just because they knew what they were doing. And, you know, I believe that God has given us everything that we need to successfully fight the devil. I don't believe he's left us wanting at all. We read in these verses here about the armor that God gives to us. We have his word. We have we can take the shield of faith. We can take the helmet of salvation and the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And you know, Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil, he gave us a great example of what the word of God is able to do in defending against the devil, against the wiles of the devil. We also learn in that, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, if you read that, you'll also learn that the devil knows what the scriptures say. He knows what they say. And I'll tell you what, I believe that he has been behind so many people in the world today, in the religious society around us. The devil has been behind people that have taken the word of God and twisted it to mean what they want it to say, to where they begin to present something that's not truth, because he knows what the Bible says. We find that, recorded in the fourth chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What did the devil do? He began to tell Jesus things that were recorded in the scriptures. Well, why don't you cast yourself down? If you're the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down for here? Because it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. But the Lord's defense was, but it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He challenged the Lord's power. He knew what Jesus could do. He knew that Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was hungry. And so he came to him and he said, "Why don't you command the stones that they be made bread?" And the Lord's response again was, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You see, the devil, I want to assure you of this, if he would come after Jesus, you can bet that he's not afraid to come after you. So we wrestle. We wrestle. We are in a grueling contest. We're in battle. I'm telling you, if you serve the Lord, if you live your life for the Lord, and you try to live according to His truth and do that which is right in the sight of God, you better get ready, because the devil is coming after you. And he's going to come after you with all of his trickery and with all of his strategy. And he doesn't want to do anything that's good for anybody. All that he wants to do is disrupt your life. All he wants to do is try as hard as he can to tear down the things of God. And he has been doing that ever since man dwelt on earth. We know that he was there, and he was after the first people that God ever put on the earth. He was after Adam and Eve, and we need to remember this, that the very first people on earth, the first two people on the earth, Adam was created, and then God put him to sleep and took a rib from him and made Eve to be his wife. The first two people on the earth, they allowed themselves to fall victim to the snares and the entrapments of the devil. I want you to seriously think about that. How many ways in our lives do we allow the devil to have his way with us? How many ways do we listen to him rather than listen to God? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I can say this to you today by the authority of God's word, that everything the devil tells you, it's going to be a lie. Everything that he tells you. I've heard people, talk about the things that the devil told Adam and Eve there in the garden when he said, when he came to Eve and he said, "Did God tell you not to eat of this fruit? Did he tell you that if you did that you would die?" And when she acknowledged that God had told them that, the devil said, "Thou shalt not surely die." But the only reason God told you that is because he knows in the day that you eat of it that your eyes are going to be opened, that you're going to be as gods, that you're going to know good and you're going to know evil. And I've heard people interpret that and say that the devil told half truth. He didn't tell any truth. He never tells truth. Because Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John that there is no truth in him. If Jesus said there's no truth in him, I'll take the Lord at his word. He doesn't ever say anything that's true. He doesn't say anything that's half true. The devil is a liar. And everything that he tells you, everything that he whispers in your ear, you can bet that he is telling you a lie. And if you follow it, that it's going to lead you in a bad way. Amen. He won't do anything that's good for you. I'm telling you, God loves everybody. The devil loves nobody. God never lies. In fact, the Bible tells us that he cannot lie. The Bible teaches us that it's impossible for God to lie. It's not even consistent with his holy divine nature. God never lies. The devil never does anything but lie. He never tells the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The devil so hates the world and so hates everybody that he will do everything he can to keep every person away from seeking a relationship with Christ. He doesn't want anybody to be saved and to have eternal life and eternal peace with God. And he will fight you, lost friend. I'm telling you, he did me. I can remember very well. I'm sure that many of you can. I can go back to the time when I was lost and separated from God, and I knew that I was in need. I knew that I needed to be saved. I knew that there was something wrong inside. And I can remember the lies that the devil would tell me, the things that he would say to me to try to persuade me not to seek after the Lord. He will tell you, don't do that. There'll be a better opportunity. You need to do that perhaps, but you need to do it later. You need to go have some fun for a while. He'll lie to you any way that he can to keep you away from God. And I'm telling you what, church, he will tell us anything that he thinks he can get us to believe to keep us from serving the Lord. The devil, I'm telling you the truth, the devil has infiltrated our churches. And he has got, he has set snares and he has set traps that I'm afraid that we have fallen into that perhaps we don't even realize what we have allowed the devil to do to us. But God can show us. If we'll seek the Lord, he can show us. He can make known to us what we have done and what we need to correct. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we're talking about this evil power that we're wrestling against. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul essentially says that the devil should not get an advantage of us, should not gain advantage over us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. Put on the whole armor of God. Use the weaponry that God has given us. Brother Wheat in Sunday school this morning was talking about the time that David went to the battle there between Israel and the Philistines, and he said that he would go and fight the giant. And Saul wanted to give David his armor to wear, and David refused it. He said, I've not proved it. Let me tell you something, or let me ask you something rather. The armor that Paul is talking about here in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, has it not been proven? Has the church not wore this armor throughout the years and proven the worth of it? Have we not proven the strength of the Word of God? Have we not proven the strength of faith? Have we not proven that these things that God has given us to arm us that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? I'm telling you, they've been tested and tried and found to be true. David didn't need Saul's military armor. He didn't need that shield and sword and helmet and the things that Saul wanted to give to him anyway, because he had the Lord on his side. I want you to know something. You will not defeat the devil. You will not keep him from disrupting your life. You will not keep him from his evil influence upon you without the help of the Lord. You just won't do it. I believe that James gave us the formula in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of James in verse 7. He said, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You want to get rid of the devil? Run to Daddy. Run to his protection. You want to get rid of the devil and his evil influence? Run to God. Submit yourself to God. You know, that part of the verse there must be realized, that we don't just resist the devil and have him flee from us. We submit ourselves to God, and then we, by the help of God, resist the devil. And he'll flee from us. I'll tell you what, he won't run from you, but he'll run from the Lord. You read the fourth chapter of Matthew, and you'll find out that Jesus put him on the go. And he can still do that today. But he's not going to run from you, and he's not going to run from me. But when we run to God and we grab onto him, we submit ourselves to the Lord, and by his help resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. You know, the Bible talks about him in different places, and it talks about him as being something fierce. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, it calls him the great red dragon. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about him being a roaring lion. I heard a sad story this week. It actually wasn't a lion, it was a tiger. But I heard a sad story this week about in India, where most of the tiger population that's left in the world, they're in India. And I read about a man and his children in a fishing boat, and they were in a stream not too far from shore. They were in a stream, and a tiger came out of the forest and just grabbed the man and was gone. His children told them that it was just over. You know, before you knew it, that big cat had grabbed that man and was gone with him. He had no chance of defending himself against that thing. And the Apostle Peter said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so, the scriptures depict him as something that's strong and something that's forceful. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He cannot contend with God. He cannot defeat God. He doesn't have the power that God has. And so we need to wear the armor. And we need to hang on to God. And listen, and I've talked to the church here time and time again about the importance of assembly. You know what? You know what the one of the best things that a flock of sheep can do is stay together. I'm telling you, there's strength in numbers. And when one gets out roaming around by itself, they're subject to the predators. And we need to come here, and we need to assemble, and we need to stay together, that we might gain strength from one another, that we might gain strength from God's word. You don't need to be out there roaming around by yourself because, listen, I believe I heard Brother Dallas one time in Sunday school put it this way. If you don't want to run into the devil, stay out of his neighborhood. Stay together. Stay with the flock. Stay where you're supposed to be in the first place. I mean, think about it. What do you get? The devil. What do you get when you take away the D? Evil. And that's exactly what he is. He's ultimate evil. I'm telling you again, there's nothing good about him and nothing good that he wants to do for you. You know, God has children. The Bible teaches us that all them that have been saved are the children of God. God has his children. You know, the devil does too. He does. In the 8th chapter of John, Jesus spoke to a group of unbelieving Jews and he told them, "You are of your father, the devil." But you know what? He doesn't love his children. God loves his children. God loves us with an everlasting love, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. But listen, I'm convinced that there are people, those that have turned their lives over to the devil. Sadly enough, there have been those that have worshiped the devil. And even with them worshiping him, he hates them with a vengeance. He doesn't care for anybody. He has no love. Lost friend, I'm telling you, when the devil tells you lies about your salvation, he's not saying anything to you for your benefit. He tries as hard as he can to keep you away from seeking the Lord, to keep you away from being saved. And you know what? The devil is a great red dragon, and he is a roaring lion, but he won't show himself to you that way. He won't come up, and he will not show himself to you as a roaring lion. He might show himself to you as a little kitty cat and try to make you deceive you and try to make you think that he's not harmful. Isn't that what the devil will tell us? When he's trying to get us to do something, won't he tell us? Won't he whisper in your ear and say, "Listen, this is not that bad. It's not that bad. It won't harm you. You can indulge a little bit. It won't harm you at all." But he's a liar. Because I'm telling you, everything that he tries to get you to do will harm you. It'll harm you. He will not do anything for your benefit. And so, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to have our loins girt about with the truth. We need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and pray. Pray. Because, you know, if you wear the helmet and you have the sword and you don't wear the shield, that's where he'll attack you. Wherever you're weak, that's where he will attack you. And so we need to take the whole armor of God. I'm convinced that the devil knew in the Garden of Eden, I'm convinced that he knew that the best way for him to get to Adam was to go through Eve. And I'm convinced that he knows the best way to get to you and to get to me. And that's the way he will approach us. And so have on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because don't forget what the Apostle Peter said emphatically: we have an adversary, and our adversary is the devil. And as a roaring lion, he walks around seeking whom he may devour. Now, for those that have been saved, he can't ever make us be lost. But I'll tell you what, he can ruin your life. If you listen to him, he can ruin your life to the point that you won't be any help at all to anybody else. He can kill your influence completely if you listen to him and fall into his evil snares. I'll tell you what I believe, and you can believe this or you cannot believe it. The choice is yours. But all of the things that, you know, go on in our society, everything that goes on in our society that distracts people from God, I don't care what it is. It may seem innocent. It may be school sports. It may be a school dance or play or something like that. But I'm telling you, whatever that it is that distracts people away from the things of God, the devil is right in the middle of it. He's right in the middle of it. I know that it's been talked about many times, but it wasn't that many years ago that the schools, they didn't try to take our kids away to do things. At the times that the churches would meet, they respected that. They don't respect it anymore, do they? They'll hold sporting events and plays and everything else right when the kids ought to be at church. And I'll tell you, the devil loves it. I guarantee you, he loves it. And so often we fall right in to his traps. Beware of the devil. Beware of his trickery and his evil strategies. Fight the good fight of faith. Let God rule and reign in your life, not Satan. Let God be in control. I appreciate your attention. Those are the things that God placed on my heart.